You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamarie ko henerostoku ingoa, and welcome to this week's bits. This week, new research came out from Unitech showing students found it a struggle juggling work and uni while paying the bills. The study canvassed nearly 2,000 students and found nearly half of them were working more than 15 hours a week, and about a third of them considered dropping out because of the strain of the work-study lifestyle. Max Smith and Sam Smith did a report looking at this survey, talking to the manager of student engagement and experience at Unitech, Alison Dow first, AUSA President Will Matthews second, and then taking it to a few students to find out what they thought.
But I think what the surprise is the extent and the breadth and depth of the issue that our students are facing. So it's having a really good understanding now of how far that reaches, if that makes sense. The number of students that are struggling to make do on, for example, a student allowance and just not being able to cover the basics is quite extraordinary, really.
Yeah, and I mean, it even goes as far as, students expressing the need to drop out because of how high the pressure is.
That's right, and in most cases they're considering dropping out because of financial circumstances, which often add to other stresses. And I mean, it's a stressful life being a student. You've got a lot of extra, a lot of work to do getting through all of the study and all the rest of it, so the financial struggle makes it an additional burden. We know that a lot of students have dropped out because of the financial issues. We're not sure of the complete number of that, but it is a concern to know that a lot of students are considering that at least at some time during their study career.
So what does Unitech feel they need to solve this issue? Because obviously, we've seen similar trends across the country, but Unitech in particular, I mean, the Union of Students Associations was telling me that this is much higher than they've seen elsewhere. I mean, do you have any idea of what needs to be done with this research?
I think the research is showing us that students, particularly those who are first in family and older students, have got a particular struggle to make ends meet. They are often looking for better outcomes for themselves and their families and their communities. So trying to figure out how to make do on a student allowance that averages out at about $170 once you've paid for your rent, not being able to afford to run a car, trying to top up your hop card, even making a decision around can I afford the copying for my assignments or do I need to buy a loaf of bread is a big issue for a lot of students. So I guess it's a responsibility of all of us to think about how we can make this work, particularly for those students. And it's a combination of thinking about the role of the community, the student, government, Unitech, tertiary providers. How can we all work together to make it work best for students? So we've got a number of initiatives underway we've had them for a while. We have hardship grants. We have a study awards for unexpected additional costs. We have an emergency food supply, and our student council works with us, and they've made a contract with Kiwi Harvest and making sure that students get fed. Some of our departments are working on that too. They're providing breakfasts for students, for example, in our performing arts area. Those students need a huge amount of energy if they can't afford the food to do the dance and drama studies. That's a big worry. So I think now that we know the extent of the problem, we need to recognise it and figure out what are the ways we can all work together to resolve this for the students.
Right, but you feel that this is likely to be best solved with a student allowance, a raise in the student allowance, or maybe even an opening to more students to offer this?
I think we've got to look at how much the student allowance can support a student. If you're working on $170 a week, either as a loan or a student allowance, and a rent in Auckland is possibly $250. There are lots of issues that arise as a consequence of that. You probably are going to have to share accommodation that may be quite crowded. That limits your opportunity to study in quiet areas. We're trying to make sure that we've got quiet study areas available to students with the kind of buildings that we're developing at Unitech, so they've got spaces to study, but that doesn't always resolve the issues at home. If students can't afford to come and study, or can't afford to stay studying, the outcomes for them and their families and the community and the wider New Zealand are going to be at risk.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was Alison Dell, Manager of Student Engagement and Experience at Unitech. Now, the New Zealand Union of Students Associations says Unitech's findings shows there's a clear need for the student allowance to be increased. It currently extends to $218 per week, but NZSU wants it to cover the rent of at least 40% of tertiary students living in New Zealand. However, Tertiary Education, Skills and Employment Minister Paul Goldsmith has already said he expects students to make their own financial contribution on top of support from the government. I spoke with NZUSA President Jonathan Gee about what Unitech's survey showed.
We talk a lot about tertiary education being a way out of poverty, but so many students are getting into poverty in order to get through their tertiary education. We definitely see the struggle here, and some of the results in this Unitech survey are much worse than the results we got from our survey a few months ago.
Right, and your survey, that was more of across the country survey?
Yeah, so that was across the country, that's right. And one of the findings there was that we found that a third of students did not have enough income to meet their basic needs. Here in this survey, the Unitech survey, it's found that over half of students have had, you know, a similar sort of statistic question around having enough income to meet their living costs over the last 12 months. And it's much worse that they've divided up with demographics like Māori students too. Over two-thirds of Māori students expressed that same struggle. So you definitely see that actually either the situation's got much worse over some, you know, last few months, or that the issue is much more, intense in Auckland and for those who are of Māori and Pacifica descent.
Right, so that could be to do with the rising rents that we've been hearing about as well?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's definitely one reason for it. The fact that, you know, the average rent price for a room in Auckland Central is now over $250. When you're getting the student allowance and accommodation benefit, if you're getting it, that's $218. So it barely, you know, that student support barely covers your rent, let alone the food that you need on the table, any other sort of basic necessities such as sanitary products. So, you know, there's a real concern and there's a real tight squeeze for a lot of students.
That was the Union of Students Associations President Jonathan Gee speaking with me earlier this morning.
Also went out and spoke to some students to get their thoughts on the survey and the situation they find themselves in.
Is money a problem for you as a student?
Fuck yes.
So how do you balance that work, study, life? Is that quite difficult?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm balancing it right, but I go to uni during the day, I work at night, somehow get some income to afford some food and rent. Yeah.
Have you thought of ever dropping out of uni because you can't afford to continue in your current situation?
Yeah, the thought has passed my mind, but I would never commit to that.
What about food? Do you go without food?
I go day by day with, like, never no food, but sometimes 2-minute noodles. Like, I guess that's real food.
What would you like to see done to, like, change the situation?
Free food? I don't know. I don't know. It'd be nice to have something help.
Yeah.
Yeah, some help.
Do you struggle with living costs and situation?
No, because I live with my parents over in the North Shore, and I highly depend on them. But I do feel bad that I can't really be independent because I don't really have the money to support myself.
Sure.
And being a full-time student, we don't really have that time to do those jobs and stuff. And I'm doing first year biomed, and there's a lot of pressure to get good grades. And so I have to spend a lot of time studying.
Have you considered dropping out of uni because of financial pressures?
No, just because my parents are in a good financial position and supporting me. So I feel like I'm in a good place, but I just don't like how it's like that, how I have to be dependent on them still at this age, yeah.
Is money a constant struggle for you as a student?
Definitely. It's the reason why I still live at home and have to bus really far every day just to get to university, and it means I'm going to be in debt for a really long time as well.
Do you have to... How is it to like balance that work-study situation? Is that quite challenging?
Really challenging. I think it stops people from being able to put in their all into their study, and is really draining mentally for people as well as physically.
Have you ever considered dropping out of uni because your financial situation is just too challenging?
Yes, definitely.
What about going without food? Has it ever got that desperate?
No, thankfully I've never had to deal with that before.
And we also spoke to AUSA President Will Matthews to get his perspective on the situation and the UniTech survey.
So I guess, what do you make of the survey then?
I don't think it's particularly surprising that they found that a large number of students are going without food or without eating properly to, you know, to afford to be able to live. I couldn't comment on what the number at Auckland University is, but anecdotally I do know of students who have had to choose between topping up their hop card to get to university and affording to eat for the week.
Is it becoming more common, do you think?
Absolutely. As the cost of living rises, particularly with rental prices and associated increased rental transport costs that go with that, more and more students are having to cut corners and make sacrifices to survive and continue to study, which is appalling.
The Auckland Writers Festival also kicked off this week with some very exciting national and international writers scheduled to speak over the next few weeks. We caught up with several big names from the festival. On Friday, news director Ximena Smith spoke to Roxane Gray, the author of Bad Feminist and A Difficult Woman, who is going to be talking today at 10:30 a.m. at the Aotea Theatre.
To begin with, I was hoping we could touch a little bit on Bad Feminist. So when I read it, kind of felt like it was almost a revelation for me in terms of how everyone has contradictions and that's okay. You know, it's okay to have feminist beliefs and believe in smashing the patriarchy whilst also listening to rap music and shaving one's legs. Was this kind of your intention with the book, to provide an antidote of sorts to other narratives that suggest there are right and wrong ways to be a feminist?
Absolutely. I really wanted to just... At the time, I was thinking through my own relationship to feminism and how I often found it intimidating to claim feminism, because oftentimes people make it seem like you have to be perfect, and I'm not perfect. But at the same time, I am absolutely a feminist. And so I wanted to create a space for other women and men like me to feel like they can participate in feminism and also just be human and flawed.
Absolutely. And so one essay in which you challenge this idea of being a perfect feminist, and an essay that I feel like has particularly stayed with me in the years since I first read the book, is the one you wrote about trigger warnings. So in it you spell out an argument kind of against trigger warnings, which I think is a particularly brave thing to do, is critiquing trigger warnings. I feel like is seen as kind of an unpopular thing among a lot of people who identify with left-wing politics. Is this also something that you try to do with your writing, to sort of provide nuance to arguments, even though there might be backlash?
Oh, absolutely. I think that nuance is sadly lacking in much of contemporary discourse. And, you know, I'm a Libra, so I always try to consider all sides to an issue, sometimes for better and sometimes for worse. But I think that we have to be able to have complex conversations. And oftentimes when it comes to these sensitive issues, people make them very all or nothing, but that's not the way the world works. And so there has to be middle ground. There has to be a space where people with opposing viewpoints can have genial conversations and try and reach, you know, places where we can create actual change.
For sure. I mean, and so this also, I feel like this idea comes through in your latest collection of stories, Difficult Women, in the way that it captures complexity so well. So it was so satisfying to read in the way, like, each story wasn't really resolved. It was just a snapshot of each of these women's lives. So was this your intention with each of these stories?
In Difficult Women, you know, mostly my intention was just to tell stories that I was interested in telling. And to explore women's lives. I didn't have an agenda other than good storytelling. And each of the women in Difficult Women were characters that wouldn't let me go until I told their story.
Mm. And so where did you get your motivation to write about all of this kind of diverse collection of women in this story?
You know, I get my motivation from a lot of different places. Sometimes, you know, I'll meet someone really interesting and I will, I'll take parts of their personality and then I'll pull from somewhere else and I just start to build these characters or these circumstances, and then I think, who would be here and how would they react in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just, you know, I'm always paying attention and making notes and thinking about just different circumstances that people and women in particular can find themselves in, and I love to just write stories about that.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/BCasts.